Disclaimer, I love the heritage, the history, the harmony of the Happy Goodmans. And now they're back with the Goodman Revival, talking about Tanya and Michael Sykes, along with Johnny Minnick. This is going to get good.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Welcome to part two of our feature on Goodman Revival, where we have Johnny Minnick, Michael Sykes, and Michael's wife, Tanya Goodman Sykes. And the introductions are as follows. Michael Sykes, wonderful producer in gospel music, long legacy, also member of Ponder, Sykes, and Wright. Then you have Tanya Goodman Sykes, the daughter of founding Happy Goodman member Rusty Goodman. And Johnny Minnick, who spent years singing with the Happy Goodmans, even including the third part that he provided with Howard and Vestal up into their last days touring in the early 2000s. We've got a lot of ground to cover this hour, and we're going to jump in with a little bit of a recap from last time on some of the pleasantries and introductions with Goodman Revival on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Reliving memories with a fresh new version of the Goodmans, I guess if you want to call it that. Goodman Revival, Tanya, Johnny, and Michael. And you know what? Let's go ahead and address that, because there's going to be a lot of purists out here who will say, well, you can never replace the Happy Goodman family. How do you guys answer the question, are you honoring a legacy? Are you recreating the wheel? What's your answer?
Well, I agree. You can't replace the Happy Goodman family. They have a unique thing that's their own, their own thing. We're honoring the legacy. I grew up listening to all this music, singing all this music. Michael grew up as a great lover of gospel music of all kinds. And Johnny, he's practically grafted into the family tree because he has been, a part of making music with my family since he was about 18, 19 years old. So, we all kind of grew up with this, and it's something that we loved, and it's really a big part of who we are, and it's kind of the soundtrack of our lives, to turn a corny phrase there, but we just want to honor that and bring back some of those great songs that we loved and we know a lot of other people love. And we're not trying to be anybody else. We just want to put our own spin on this music and just kind of bring it back on the scene.
I have to say, you guys, I love each of your voices individually. Johnny, I love what you brought to the table traveling with the Goodmans. Tanya, I mean, you're one of the top female singers in my book. And Michael is underrated as far as a singer goes. I mean, people know Michael for production, for mm-hmm. producer. But, the harmony and just the vocal quality that Michael has, I think, is outstanding. So when you put the three together here, and obviously two out of three have great experience with singing Goodman music. I don't see any way to lose out here. And of course, you guys do such a great job of that word we bring up, honor. You really want to honor your family, your friends, your mentors.
True. That is so true. And they were mentors to us. I mean, they taught us so much of what we know about what we do today. They really did.
Well, let's go back and hear a sound featuring Howard Vestal and Johnny, the Happy Goodman.
He just was once my home, I was a slave. Hitless, incendent, roll of life, in craving. When I looked up to heaven's dome, I came to say, I'm living in Canaan love.
I'm living for Canaan's side of
Egypt behind.
Crossed over Jordan, my
gladness to find. My soul is satisfied.
Canaan right now.
Satan,
song. I'm living in Canaan now.
Living on Canaan side of
Egypt's behind.
Crossed over Jordan like
madness to find.
My soul satisfied.
No longer blind. Living with Jesus up in Canaan right now.
I'm living on Canaan side of
Egypt's behind.
Crossed over Jordan like
madness to find.
Flashback sound with the Happy Goodmans, Howard and Vestal Goodman, plus Johnny Minnick. Johnny is with us today on this show alongside Tanya Goodman Sykes and her husband, Michael Sykes, Goodman Revival on Daniel Britt and Friends. What's been the most surprising? I mean, it's surprising you say that, you know, you thought this would be just a fun gig here or there, and it's kind of taken off this whole project, this whole, you know, the Gaither organization has embraced it, and there's a huge audience that still to this day is in love with the Goodman and that legacy. But other than that, what's been another surprise along the journey for you with Goodman Revival?
You know, this is the first time. I mean, I've hung with Johnny for years. He's been a dear friend to all of us. And, of course, he was with the Goodman forever. But singing with Johnny and Tanya, I don't know. I never really saw us doing this. None of us did. And it just... Man, it is one of the most natural things I've ever done. And it's fun. And man, we'll do it late at night. And we always either bust out in just laughter, or if we're singing some of the serious things, believe it or not, man, we're in tears. We're singing through tears. But I mean, man, it is one of the most unique situations I've ever encountered. And nice. I'm loving it.
Now, I was telling somebody earlier that I was talking to you and Tanya and Johnny, and they said, you know what about Michael and Tanya? You can tell that Michael feels like he should pinch himself every day that he's married to her. You're pretty crazy about her, aren't you?
I'd say I'm pretty smitten. I feel like I'm getting away with something. I've had my hand in a cookie jar now for about 32 years.
Well, listen, I've told everybody, you know, with Ponder Sykes and Wright and with Heirloom, and, you know, there's a great deal of success that comes from both of those groups that certainly attributes to Michael and to Tanya. You guys are great talent. And now to put those together, add Johnny in the mix and put a Goodman legacy behind it all. I think this is just going to be a lot of fun. Hold on to your hat.
Well, Daniel, thanks a lot, man. We're having a blast. We're looking forward to wherever the road takes us, brother.
Speaking to Michael Sykes, Tanya Goodman Sykes, and Johnny Minnick, Goodman Revival featured today on Daniel Britt and Friends.
If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough to reach the sky above. Could know everything there was to know about life's game. Still, you've known nothing until you've known God and His love. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down. Until you've
lifts him up from out of sin where he has trod. Until you've known just how it feels to know that God is really real, then you've known nothing until you
spending some time also with Goodman Revival, but going back and hearing some from the Happy Goodmans. Here's Howard Vestal and Johnny on Daniel Britt and Friends.
That'll be a happy morning over the sea. When the cares of life
shall pass away forever,
be you there to welcome all the ransomed and free.
When they ring a bell of heaven on that day.
Morning, everybody's singing.
Shouting,
ooh, what a happy meeting.
When they ring the bells in heaven on that day.
Press along, rejoicing through this unfriendly land.
Glory land is waiting all the way.
The sun is always shining.
That'll be a glad homecoming. Won't it be grand? When they ring the bells.
Happy Goodmans on Daniel Britt and Friends. That's setting us up, setting the stage for the conversation we're having today with Howard and Vestal's niece, Tanya Goodman Sykes, her husband, Michael Sykes, and Johnny, who sang the third part there with them. Part of the next chapter, Goodman Revival.
Well, you know, Tanya, I think probably my favorite that I hear you on, and I'm so happy it's on this project, because whether it's a version you did 10, 15 years ago on a Gaither video or this latest one, it's just so clear. And your vocal delivery is just impeccable. It's Look for Me, because I will be there too. I think that's an incredible song, and you bring such emotion when you sing it. It's hard not to be moved.
Well, thank you. It's a great song. And, you know, perspective is everything. And I remember when my dad brought that song to me years ago, 28, maybe 29 years ago, maybe even 30 years ago, when he had first written it. He brought it to me and he said, man, I got this new song that I've written and I'm so excited about it. And so he played it for us. And I was excited because my dad was a wonderful writer and it was a beautiful song. But I couldn't relate to it as much back then because I was a lot younger. But a lot of years have passed since then. And I understand it a lot better now. I have a different perspective. I have a more of a forward-looking perspective about heaven. And I can't tell you the countless people that I have sung that song for as we were honoring them for one last time as they'd left this earth. And the song means so much more to me today. I understand. I understand it a lot better now.
Your dad, Rusty, was, I think the word contemporary would be accurate here. Great songwriter, too. On the songwriting front, did you inherit any of those abilities?
Well, I do write. I write. I've written several songs, and that some you might be familiar with, and Prayer Warrior, the heirloom recorded, and The King of Who I Am by Lulu Roman and Russ Taff did very well. I don't, you know, I certainly would never compare myself to my dad. He was a wonderful, wonderful writer, but I do like to write. I don't do it as much as I should. Michael's always fussing at me for not taking more time out to write. I've been writing a little bit more lately. So
your dad had a show, and I never saw it much, but I know that with my grandparents, we'd watch these Gaither videos, and I got a big education just by watching them and then studying and, you know, dialing into each history of each artist I would see in those videos. And you got to know, by the way, as a radio guy, it's probably no secret that we get a lot of free music. We don't have to pay for it. And you have to know I'm pretty cheap.
well, at least you're honest about it.
Yeah. As a kid with limited funds, but even having access to radio music, I did not hesitate to spend my hard-earned money on Goodman music. So I had such a collection of Goodman music and the receipts to prove that I paid for it. Okay, that's how much I love Goodman music. But my grandpa, who was a very traditional, you know, down-the-line Southern gospel fan, he loved your dad, and which surprised me a little bit because your dad could go down these contemporary roads sometimes. He would sometimes push the envelope. But my grandpa loved your dad and that genius that he brought with marrying the age-old, timeless message of the gospel with sometimes some new harmonies or a new sound or trying new things. Do you think your dad would be pretty much on board with new technologies, with social media, with all the advancements we've seen, especially compared to the road they paved?
Oh, my word. My dad loved gizmos and gadgets so much. Michael and I have said so many times that we would probably have to lock him in a cage to keep him off his iPhone. He loved technology, and he loved to take things apart and see how they worked, and he was a tinkerer, and he was crazy about any kind of new device. His favorite things in the world were Sharper Image Catalog and Brookstone, and he loved all that stuff.
When you finally make your entrance to that city of jasper walls and bright golden, I make of you
Tanya Goodman Sykes featured with Goodman Revival. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Let's go back now to the Happy Goodmans. And Won't It Be Wonderful There, one of my favorites they recorded in their later years.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of this sorry land.
To the past, the Happy Goodmans, and pressing on into the next chapter. Now here's more from Goodman Revival. Johnny Minnick, Tanya Goodman Sykes, and Michael Sykes. Now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, it's the sweetest song I know. Amazing.
Britt and Friends. I love the stories that are coming out here between Johnny Minnick, who spent so many years on the road with the Happy Goodmans, and then you had Tanya Goodman Sykes, who was, I mean, my goodness, a blood relative, a daughter to Rusty Goodman, and also spent time with the Happy Goodman family herself, especially growing up on that purple bus. And then Michael Sykes, who also spent time with the Goodmans, then married Tanya. We're having a wonderful conversation today, and it continues now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
My parents lived out in Gallatin and not far from the lake, which my dad was in hog heaven about that because he loved to fish, and he had a little old fishing boat and a trailer, and he would, you know, hitch it up, go out there to the lake and fish. He and Michael spent a lot of hours out there fishing, and we were out there one afternoon. We pulled up, and my dad is sitting astride the boat trailer, and he's got the soldering iron, and he's fiddling with something there with the trailer hitch, and he actually had taken Canon plugs off of mic cables and had rigged it somehow, and that was going to carry the juice to light up his lights for his trailer. And Michael said, I mean, I could not believe that. He said, I've never seen anybody do that. That's the funniest thing ever. Only Rusty would do that. But he was always doing crazy stuff like that.
Yes, sir. He
did. Now, that's funny.
I had never seen anybody do that, much less think like that. You know, Rusty was one of a kind, man. He was. I got a great picture of that, by the way. You need to see the picture of that.
So, I mean, does that speak to how ingenious he was, or how much into gadgets he was? Or you think maybe in his child, maybe growing up, I mean, he just had to make do, and he just learned to make do?
He learned to rig things up, man. I mean, he was one of those guys. He never met a Radio Shack he didn't like.
Yeah.
And he was always rigging something. You'd walk in, it was not uncommon to see him with his reading glasses on, sitting in the middle of the floor with a VCR just tore apart and 1,000 screws everywhere. You know, always tinkering. It could be working good, he'd be tinkering with it because he could make it better. You know, he was one of those guys. You know, if we ever had sound problems on the road or whatever, Rusty was always the guy. Man, let me get in here. Y'all just wasting time. Watch a pro at work. You know, and he'd go in there and he would do his damage.
I remember back when Steve Rabbit Easter was working with us. He and Rabbit went and looked at some road cases one day. They decided we needed some new road cases. And he said, well, that's crazy. I'm not going to pay that much for those things. He's like, Rabbit, me and you can make cases. We can make good cases. And they got out there and made these anvil cases for some of the gear and stuff that we needed new cases for. And I mean, they just he loved stuff. He loved doing things with his hands. He loved any kind of recording technology, working on microphones. He was always soldering on those microphones. And so, yes, he would love, trust me, he would have every kind of tablet and gadget and smartphone. And, oh, he loved it. He would love it.
That was going to be my next question. And so maybe we need to pull Rusty out of this as a possible answer. But Johnny and Tanya, either one of you chime in here on if we had Sam, Rusty, Howard Vestal, 2014, 2015, which one of them do you think would be, and would it surprise some of us to learn, which one of them do you think would be the most to maybe have a Facebook or to be on Twitter or to love YouTube, searching old videos and stuff?
Well, that would be Rusty for sure. I don't know that Vestal or Howard or even Sam would care much about social media.
Well, I think Howard would love YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
All those videos of singing cats and funny dog videos. He would love that.
If he knew how to access it,
could get somebody to show him how to use it. Now, I think he would love that.
He probably would.
He loved to laugh. He loved, you know, I think he and Sam both would love that. Yeah. I think Vestal would be on Facebook.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe so.
Yeah, because, you know, she loved to reach out to people, you know, like Daniel, the story that Daniel told. I think that she would love that because she did really love the fans of her music, and she was very accessible to them. And I think she'd probably be all on Facebook.
Well, she'd burn email up for sure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. She'd send you an email.
Yeah. Absolutely. I got to tell you, Rusty Goodman was born for this time. I hated he left when he did, man, because he would have been all Twitter, Facebook, iPhones, all the, you know, he left before we even got into the computer thing really heavy. So, I mean, what a waste, man. I wish he was here.
Speaking to Michael Sykes, Tanya Goodman Sykes, and Johnny Minnick, they make up Goodman Revival here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Summers often meet us here, birds press us so, and the way is hard to see that we have to go, but we press along in faith to a home above, letting Jesus lead us on, resting in his love.
What a happy time 'twill be
when we all get home,
over by the crystal sea,
never more to roam,
in the homeland of the soul,
where the joy bells shine, sing while the ages roll. What a happy time. We will labor, watch and pray as we go along, letting Jesus lead the way, keeping courage strong, knowing that we'll reach our home by his grace sublime, when we all
Revival, the next chapter in line of the Goodman legacy. But when you go back to the last chapter with Howard Vestal and Johnny, they were pace setters and trend setters too. I love their take of Better Hurry Up. Listen.
Christ has stole a home to prepare up beyond the blue sky. It must be so wondrously fair, never seen a mortal eye. We know soon he's coming again from his heavenly throne. We shall leave his earthly slow. If you want to ride on the glory cloud with the Savior and his children, now you better hurry up, get ready to go. Give your heart to Jesus today, oh, I longer refuse. Let him wash your sins all away, he's the only one to choose. Do not wait until it's too late, let him be your true guide. Enter in the crucified gate, it is standing open wide. You better hurry up, get ready to go. You better hurry up, no time to be slow. If you want to ride on the glory cloud with the Savior and his total crowd, you better hurry up, get ready to go.
Let's move into more conversation with Goodman Revival, Michael and Tanya Sykes, plus Johnny Minnick.
I know I've got a lot of personal stories in here. The first time that I met the Goodmans, and it was Johnny and Howard and Vestal, was in Warner Robins, Georgia, and it was at the Civic Center, and I had my own private moment, okay? So you got to let this live. It was backstage, and there was a freight elevator, and so most elevators open from side to side, you know, I guess what you'd call vertically. But the freight elevators are more or wide elevators, and they open from top to bottom, kind of a horizontal door that would split open. And it was dark backstage, and all of a sudden I hear this freight elevator, and I'm the only one back there. And the big doors open, and I see that famous silhouette, because there was one little light bulb that was, I guess, behind you guys. And so all I saw was this silhouette. And you talk about, I mean, it might as well have been a cutout of Michael Jordan that magically came to life. I mean, these were like my heroes. And all of a sudden, you guys step off and get ready to go through the curtain. It was just, that was a cool moment and one that I won't ever forget. And you guys just know how to make an entrance. I mean, whether that was just backstage with me and the Dust Bunnies or coming into these sold-out arenas on these Gaither shows, that's one thing that that the Goodmans had was a big presence, whether it was vocally or whether it was the dramatic entrance, which I just thought was so cool. I ate it up.
We had a lot of fun dreaming those things up. We would try to think of how could we sneak into the building and no one would know we were there. And I don't know, the best thought we could come up with is if we could get the house lights turned off and we could get an usher with a small light to get us on the stage and draw people's attention to something else. We really couldn't make that happen until we started using video screens. So we would get folks to, we would draw their attention to the screen, and while they were watching, we would try to sneak to the stage and then open. We always opened with the song Clear Title and had the piano roll, and once the piano roll would happen, we could find our pitch to start with. Then the lights, house lights, wouldn't come up until we sang the first note, and most of the time the applause, thankfully, was loud, in fact, so loud that we couldn't hear the track at all. We'd sing the first four bars without knowing exactly where we were. Sometimes that didn't work out so well, but it did make for a good opening appearance.
And that song, Clear Title, is on this project as well. You guys opened with that so much that, at least for me, I mean, that song became as much of a signature as, you know, I Wouldn't Take Nothing from a Journey Now or something. But was that song, I mean, I closely relate that to the Johnny Howard Vestal lineup. Did that song exist much before you, Johnny?
It did. We recorded that in 76, I believe it was, on a project called 99, 44, 100% Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that was Tanya's debut album.
Okay.
And we staged it, as far as I can remember, only one time. And we really didn't feel like we could do much with it for some reason. And we never sung it again. Until Howard and Vestal and I picked it back up with the trio, and it really did work for us, and the response was so well, and it's a great opener. So we've used it. Tanya and Michael and I have used it the few times that we've been out on the road. We've used it as an opener, and it works well for us too. We enjoy singing that. Tanya does a great job on the verse singing it.
Savior, his life, he died. from sin. And my name was engraved in gold letters in the Lamb's book of life, saved within. I'm an heir to a mansion in glory.
Tanya, what was Rusty's first impression of Michael?
Well, he really loved Michael. they were big buddies. I remember when Michael came to the quartet convention when it was still being held in Nashville, and we were looking for a keyboard player, and someone had recommended him, and so they were trying to get their schedules together so they could meet and Dad could hear him play. And I was standing close to someone's booth. I don't even remember whose booth. And I was looking at a magazine, so probably a Singing News. And this guy walks up to me and he says, hey, are you Tanya Goodman? And I said, I am. And I said, are you Blue? Because he had this nickname, because he's got these blue eyes. I've never called him that. I don't know. I think Willie Wynn gave him that name. But anyway, I said, are you Blue? And he said, I am. And I was like, oh, it's nice to meet you. And I thought, oh, he seems like a nice guy. He's got a great smile. And so I took him over to where Dad was, and they left, and he heard him play, and they talked. And he said, well, we'll take you out and give you a try and see how it goes. See if you like us and we like you. And so he went out on the road with us, and everybody just liked him right away. Michael has a real, he has a real knack for making people feel comfortable. And he's just really down to earth, very warm. And he and my dad were just very quick, almost best friends immediately. And my dad was, we were doing a lot of group concerts at that time, but we were also, he was going out and doing solo concerts. And so Michael would go out with Dad when he was doing solo concerts as well. And so they got really, really close. And I'm going to let him tell you the story about when he asked Dad if he could date me, because he can tell that so much better than I.
Okay. Rusty and I were, we had just got on a plane headed somewhere. He was a little tired. He kind of said, you know, I think I'm going to get me a nap. So he kind of threw his head back, you know, kind of shut his eyes. And I said, hey, Rusty, before you crash, let me ask you a question. What's the policy on the guys in the band dating your daughter? And he kind of cracks his eye, looks over at me, said, I kill them. And so I had to kind of, you know, fly under the radar there for a while.
Yeah, you need
it
a,
worked out.
You need a plan B to that conversation.
Yeah, and I found it. I caught him from his blind side, but we eventually got through it.
But that was an off, that was off limits thing. I knew I was never supposed to date any of the guys in the band because, you know, romances go south and then you have to find new band members. So, cause that's awkward. You know, you're in this little tiny metal tube hurtling down the interstate, you know, together. It's, we're all trapped in this small space. So it's kind of awkward if you break up with somebody and then you're traveling with them. So, but anyway, yeah, he and Dad were best of friends. It was, when my dad died, Michael said, you know, I didn't just lose a father-in-law. I lost my best friend. It was pretty tough. Yeah.
Well, Goodman Revival has sparked another interest, another chapter in my love for the Goodman. So I'm happy you guys are doing this. And I got to say that Michael and I have some mutual friends. And Michael, you've told me directly, but also some of the friends that we have come to me and says, Michael's just surprised as anybody is how this thing has taken off. You know, I started off, and Johnny, you're right. I misspoke when I said or asked the question, was it an accident? But you knew what I meant, and that's exactly, I think, what we all are feeling is like this is just such a cool thing that's happening that nobody really set out and planned and okay, on this date we're going to execute this and we're going to take the world by storm.
Yeah, it wasn't like we sat down with a 5-year plan. It was what we would call a surprise.
Well, every day is a surprise. That's right.
It was a surprise.
And since he's got this producer ear, is it hard to watch shows like The Voice or American Idol or America's Got Talent with him? Is he critical?
You know what? When American Idol first came on the scene, we watched every episode probably right up through, I guess, the year that Carrie Underwood was on. That may have been the last year we watched every episode. And, you know, honestly, he's probably less critical than me and our daughters, too, when they were home. They watched it. We were probably more critical than he was because he, I don't know, he's just so... I don't know. He's just so sweet. He has a real sweetness and he has a real empathy. We would, you know, we would say, this or that. And he'd go, well, you know, I mean, that kid's really got a spark. You know, he's got a spark. He's got a dream. And he's really, and he loves all those shows. You know, I kind of got tired of him after a while. I'm kind of like, okay, I'm over it. And we've watched The Voice a little bit. But I'm going to tell you that Michael is the one that programmed The Voice to record on our DVR. So he watches it. And every now and then I'll watch it too. But he loves it. You know, because I think being an artist, a writer, a producer, you know, if you really, really love it, if you really love that thing that you do or that you have, it excites you to see that spark, that talent in someone else. I've seen some clips on YouTube of people like Michael Bublé, and there's someone else I can't remember. I just saw one the other day where somebody's like, oh, you got to hear my kid. You got to hear my kid. And they pull the kid up on the stage and the kid is fantastic. And it's exciting to watch those artists because they're eating it up. You know, it's what I love about somebody like Bill Gaither, who steps out of the spotlight and says, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. And Michael has, he has a large helping of that in his personality. And I love that about him.
Well, you couldn't have a throwback, a tribute, or a highlight of the Goodmans without this song. And Goodman Revival give us their treatment. Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. This is Daniel Britton Fritz.
Make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tipped me and he tried to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name, all the wealth I want in worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. I
I've had a lot of heartache and I met a lot of grief and woe. For my journey now.
Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil kick me and he try to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want in worldly fame. If I could still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Will ever take the place of God's love. All the silver and gold can never buy any touch from above. When my soul needs healing, I begin to feel his power. And it's there I'd say I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now.
Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil took me and he tried to turn me.
This is not derogatory, but I'm going to close with this. Goodman Revival, Johnny Minnick, Tanya Goodman Sykes, Michael Sykes. We're looking forward to great things. Excited you guys are putting this on the map. But, you know, with Heirloom, with Ponder Sykes and Wright, we love those groups too. And I think the biggest complaint we'd have about those groups is we didn't get to see you enough or you didn't record enough. So this is just a little challenge. Let's let Goodman Revival kind of let's have a long history in front of us.
Okay. Well, there were a lot of different circumstances with those. I think three new moms trying to raise babies kind of derailed Heirloom. Boy, nothing will derail you like a house full of toddlers. And and with Ponder Sykes and Wright, I think one of their guys took off and headed out toward Branson or something. So
yeah.
I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, and I don't think Michael and Johnny are either.
That's good. Well, thank you guys for spending time with us. What's the best way to stay in touch? You know, of course, everybody seems to have social media, but is there a website that's out here yet for Goodman Revival? Is there a central landing ground for it?
Well, we're working on the website. It's not quite ready to go live yet, but we are on Facebook. And while we were sitting here talking, I posted a picture of us talking to you, Daniel. So it's already out there. So
nice.
We are, Goodman Revival is on Facebook and on Twitter. So you can find us out there, just Goodman Revival. And we check it a lot. We stay in touch with people. We answer their questions. And that's where right now people can find out anything they want to know about Goodman Revival.
Johnny Minnick, Tanya Goodman Sykes, Michael Sykes, Goodman Revival, and I can't wait for you to hear this, maybe even live in a neighborhood near you, so keep check of those contacts, especially on Facebook for more information. Thank you guys for taking time out of your busy day job kind of schedule, all right? And, of course, your busy lives as artists and producers and writers. It's so good to catch up with you.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Daniel. You do such a great job, we've enjoyed being here with you.
Yes, thank you for having us.
It's good to hear your voice, bro. Stay in touch with me.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.